Communication and human evolution. When you compare humans to creatures like snow leopards or Komodo dragons, it's surprising we're the dominant species. Many animals are faster, bigger, or stronger than us, and some even have poisonous teeth. One big reason is our ability to communicate effectively. Unlike our physical limitations, our knack for detailed conversation and attentive listening gives us evolutionary advantages. Ironically, despite our natural communication skills, modern life often hinders rather than helps. We're becoming worse at it, which has consequences. For instance, poor communication costs large businesses in the US and UK billions of dollars annually, according to a 2008 report. It's not just about money, it affects our empathy too. A study found that college students today are 40% less empathetic than those from 30 years ago, partly due to the shallow connections produced by technology and social media. In one revealing experiment, researchers observed pairs of strangers chatting in rooms, some with a cell phone on the table. Surprisingly, just the presence of the cell phone reduced the quality of communication. Rooms without phones saw better relationships, trust, and empathy develop between participants. Improve conversations. What can we do about this? Simply putting away our phones is a start, but more crucial is taking conversations seriously. Instead of blaming others for dull conversations, take responsibility for making them engaging. You'll be amazed at the difference it makes. The power of difficult conversations. Many people avoid tough conversations, but sometimes they can turn out better than expected. Take the story of Zernona Clayton, who was born in the 1930s and became active in the U.S. civil rights movement. She also worked as head of a city planning program in Atlanta, Georgia, where one of her colleagues was Calvin Craig, a well-known member of the Ku Klux Klan. Even though Clayton knew Craig's background, they had to work together. Their relationship started cold, but over time they developed a connection, with Craig often visiting Clayton's office because he enjoyed their talks. By 1968, Craig left the KKK, saying that his change of heart was due to the relationship he had with Clayton. Talking without judging is tough, but the story of Clayton and Craig shows that you can find common ground even with people who have very different views. In our divided world, it's easy to think you have nothing in common with those who disagree with you, but it's worth trying to connect. Everyone has biases, even if they aren't obvious. For example, you might agree with a friend's parent on many political issues, but that doesn't mean they will be a good person for your child to stay with. We often think that agreeing on one thing means agreeing on everything, and vice versa, but that's not always true. The art of respectful conversation. When talking to someone, it's important to show respect and commit to the conversation. Listen to their views and try to understand them. Zernona Clayton changed Calvin Craig's mind not through force, but by being a fun conversational partner. Not every conversation will end in friendship, and that's okay. But listening is crucial, and you might hear something surprising. Understand others in conversation. The author hosts a radio show and has interviewed many guests, but even she makes mistakes. Once, a friend came to her for comfort after losing her father, and the author responded by talking about her own experience of loss, saying her father had died when she was just 9 months old. This upset her friend even more, who said, "You win," because she had at least known her father. The author realized that she had shifted the focus from her friend's feelings to her own. This is a common mistake we make without realizing it, known as conversational narcissism, a term coined by sociologist Charles Derber. Derber explains that there are two types of responses in conversations, the shift response and the support response. The author's response was a classic shift response, even though she meant well. Saying "me too" is a shift response because it moves the focus from the other person to yourself. Instead, a support response would keep the focus on them. For example, if a friend says they're busy, asking what's on their schedule shows support rather than shifting the conversation to your situation. It's natural to connect others' experiences to your own, but sometimes this can be a problem, especially with serious topics like bereavement. It's okay not to have the same experiences as others. Admitting what you don't know can help build trust. How to get someone to open up in conversation. If you want a friend or colleague to open up in a conversation, consider the kinds of questions you ask. You might think that a long, detailed question will get a long, detailed answer, but that's not the case. The best way to encourage a full response is to use one of six short words: who, what, where, when, why, or how. These open-ended questions can't be answered with just yes or no, and they make people think more deeply about their responses. But asking questions is only part of it. The real power is in how you listen. For example, if you're interviewing someone who just saw a tornado, asking "Were you scared?" might get a simple yes. Instead, ask "What was it like to be so close to a tornado?" or "What did you hear?" This way, you let them describe their experience in their own words. Don't be afraid of silence either. Many of us try to fill every pause in the conversation, but sometimes a slight pause shows that we are listening. It gives the other person a chance to think and continue talking. Be careful of wool gathering, which means letting your mind drift while someone else is talking. Instead of thinking about what to say next, focus on what the other person is saying. If you invest fully in the conversation, you'll find you're asking better questions and engaging with the other person. Listening power. A recent study found something interesting. When you talk about yourself, the same part of the brain lights up as when you eat sugar, take cocaine, or have sex. This shows that talking about yourself can be very pleasurable. But listening? That's a different story. It's not as easy as just staying quiet, it's a skill you can improve. Most people think they're good listeners, but that's often not the case. Modern technology gives us constant distractions, like checking emails during a meeting. You might think you're multitasking, but you're just getting distracted. Active listening isn't something people do naturally, but you can get better at it with practice. First, remember that people communicate through more than just words. Pay attention to gestures and tone of voice to understand what someone means. Instead of planning what you'll say next, try to predict what the other person might say next or summarize what they're saying in your head. The author's breakthrough came when she realized how to truly listen to opera after growing up surrounded by it. It's the same with listening to people. It's harder than it seems, but it's worth the effort. Make your contributions to a conversation better. Listening well is important, but talking effectively is just as crucial in a conversation. Even if you're paying attention, you still need to speak up. Here are three tips to help you make good contributions. First, be brief. Second, don't repeat yourself. Third, avoid shaggy dog stories. The main idea is to be mindful of the listener. On public radio, most interviews last just over 5 minutes. They might feel longer because they're full of interesting content, but usually, they're shorter than the time it takes to cook a frozen pizza. We have short attention spans. In fact, one study says the average human attention span is even shorter than a goldfish's. You can work on improving this, but if you go on too long, people will lose interest. Watch your conversation partner. Do they seem distracted or impatient? Think of conversation like a game of catch. If they aren't ready, don't throw the ball. Don't think that repeating yourself will make your point stronger. Research shows repetition helps the speaker remember things, but it doesn't help the listener. Too much repetition can even make them tune you out. Finally, avoid shaggy dog stories, where you add unnecessary details and lose the main point of the story. Just like in a game of catch, if you throw too many balls, your partner won't catch any of them. Substantive talks. Being a radio host involves constant interaction, but it doesn't mean she's always social. When she gets home, she prefers her son handle administrative tasks that require talking. This isn't about being antisocial, she simply knows her limits. Quality conversations take effort. If you're not mentally prepared, it's often better to skip it than have an unproductive talk. Research shows that the happiest students aren't necessarily the most talkative, but those who engage in deeper, more meaningful conversations. It's not just about being social, it's about being genuinely engaged. Why are good conversations important? They build empathy, which is crucial as empathy seems to be declining among young people. Empathy helps us understand others and form real connections. Being empathetic benefits not only yourself but also those you interact with. Understanding others and learning about their thoughts and feelings through meaningful conversations is enriching for everyone involved. Key points. 1. Communication gave humans an evolutionary edge over stronger animals. 2. Modern technology often worsens communication and empathy. 3. Tough conversations, like Clayton's with Craig, can lead to change. 4. Ask open-ended questions and listen actively for better conversations. 5. Active listening improves with practice and focuses on the speaker. 6. Be brief, clear, and engaging to keep conversations effective. 7. Meaningful conversations build empathy and deepen connections.